episode 32 of Drunk on Comics, where the grass is free, or if your father's a farmer, if you want to get a good look at the steak, put your heads up the butcher's ass. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Welcome to Drunk on Comics, guys. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, and lots of gratuitous public nerdity. If you want the proper saying, Tony.
I tried to remember
you,
it.
You kind of just try to mesh all of them into one big CF. And it came out like something I would say.
Words of wisdom for our listeners.
Yeah, no.
Something about a butcher in grass.
Yeah, it's when somebody goes, hey, and then, like, when we were a kid, and then another kid would go, hay is for horses, straw is cheaper, and grass is free. If your dad's a farmer, you can have all three.
Oh.
That's actually kind of funny, since I just found out about the farmer and the farmer bit.
I grew up in a hick town, what can I say? So, all right, guys, my name is Derek. This morning, we have Kevin back.
Hey, I'll cheers to that.
Yay. And, as always, got Tony.
Yep.
And happy belated 30th birthday to you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. I like that's the 30th.
It is.
Yeah, had some good times celebrating twice this week so far.
So far, what, you got another one up your sleeve?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about going out again tonight. Who knows?
Might as well. Fuck yeah.
I have learned.
Might as well work on that hangover you were trying to get last night.
Yeah.
Although, I gotta say, like, one of my favorite parts about your little celebration last night, there was so much damn comic book conversation going on with all of the people that you know and that I know through you. It was fantastic. I mean, there was just comic book conversations everywhere. Like, I'd turn around and, like, people over here talking about, like, Venom, and people over here talking X-Men, and people over here talking Superman. I'm like, what the fuck? This is like, it was like a nerdgasm all over the place.
Well, it's good that I'm contagious right now, so
yeah.
my nerdy is just oozing out of my body.
Nice. Well, let's get it kicked off. Gonna start off here with Off the Shelf, which is once again brought to you by Inter Comics. They are your source for all your comic book needs. Local online retailer. Find them at inter-comics.com. UK-based. Sorry, guys. UK-based shop. Fantastic. Go see them. They've got tons of cool stuff. Tons of cool stuff. Wow. On their website, too.
It works.
Tons of cool.
That's the worst promo for a sponsor I've ever done. So
I'm not messing up today. Yay.
Yeah. So here's your warning. We will be talking about things that are happening in the books this week, and so we will spoil them.
We will spoil them like the joke I tried to make at the beginning of the podcast that didn't come out right.
Yes, very much so. So if you want to read your comics first and then come back, you should do that. But otherwise, you know, get ready to be ruined.
Now, I haven't been around for the last couple of weeks, but did you guys read any of the top 10 words that needs to die in 2013?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They're saying that spoiler alert needs to go away. Now, here's my thinking on it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I thought those kind of lists are stupid because, you know what, it'll fade out naturally if it's really retarded.
No, I just right when you said that, I started thinking, well, why do they want that to be, you know, played out? Well, then I started thinking in my head, wait, where have I heard it? Oh, it's all the damn, like, paparazzi news anchor people. And spoiler alert, they're having a baby. And spoiler alert, like, that seems to be, like, their new segue to anything on the news. So I think...
Or, if we're talking about the news, anything gate. You know, of course, made famous by Watergate.
Which is... That in and of itself, anything gate should go away. Right. Because Watergate was the name of the building.
Yeah.
So, like, when you say, you know, Clinton gate, Benghazi gate, Lewinsky gate, whatever you want to say. Like
Cardassian gate?
Yeah, Cardassian gate. Well, that's not a gate. That's a fucking full-on open tunnel where anybody can get in there.
So you're saying that baby's going to shoot right out?
It's going to walk out.
It's going to march out.
With an entourage. But So, the gate needs to go away. My thing with the whole spoiler alert needing to go away, it doesn't need to go away. It needs to be used properly. Because I can't tell you how many times I've read articles where...
where it says spoiler alert after the spoiler was already done?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Are you serious?
Yes.
No way. That's...
Or you're reading down through, and I've seen it done on Facebook, too, with certain individuals, and I reamed them out because one of them kind of ruined a little something in Spider-Man 700 for me. And it was like, and I can't wait to find out about, or, and then in parentheses, spoiler alert, and then the last two words of his whole thing. And I'm like, really? Why not put spoiler alert at the top? And then I go, okay, I'm not going to read this. I'll read this later.
Yeah.
So... All right, who wants to kick it off this week?
I'll start.
All right,
I'll start. All right, so I'll start page one.
Kevin reads comics on the air.
No, I picked up MacGyver, or Mac, as he's like to be called.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember what his first name was?
Guy. I bet you it's like Steve.
So MacGyver, this is a five-issue series. This is number three I picked up. It's written by David Zlotov.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Lee, and pencils by Will Slinley.
Sliney?
Sliney?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're
my guy.
I'm guessing there, but, you know, that's...
Right. Your guess is better than my guess. Okay, so... Now, this is based upon the character that was introduced on a popular ABC television series from the late 80s, early 90s.
85 to 92, actually.
Okay, close enough. Mid. Really, that many seasons? I thought it was only like five seasons.
But I just happened to look up because I was curious as to what MacGyver's first name was.
I never heard of that show.
You're a liar.
Fuck you.
You just said that you watched four seasons back to back over a sick weekend.
So I picked up three. I picked up three the other week. But while I was picking three, I'm like, yeah, I'll pick up one and two. I really enjoyed MacGyver growing up. I jumped in probably like around the third season, and it held my interest for the entire length of the series that it was on. So, but those who are not familiar with MacGyver, it's just a brilliant man who's well traveled, well educated, and
he's crafty.
Oh my gosh! If I could only invent a word to come up to describe how crafty he is, but
so Kevin, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think I understand why MacGyver was so inventive and smart is probably because he had to figure out ways of not getting his ass kicked when he was a kid, because his first name is Angus.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for... That reminds me of, like, epic first names.
What was Indy's first name?
Oh,
That one was something, too.
Indiana
Jones? Yeah, because Indy was the dog's name that he took the name Indy for.
Junior.
His name was Junior?
Yeah.
All right, now, damn it.
Yeah, no, so MacGyver's trademark is coming up with inventive ways to get himself out of a particular situation, and the television show, most of the time you're like, wow, that's awesome, how on earth did you come up with it? Because they're always usually in pressure situations, he's got to come up with it, and that was a great appeal of the show, was that, and it was also funny, action-packed. And you know what? I think all of that actually translates really well into this comic book.
Nice.
It really does. Because when he starts... Because in each issue, he has at least one quick thinking on your feet scenario where he's got to... diffuse the situation.
That's actually one of the questions I had for you, because I told you right before we started this that I kind of wanted to read this because I was curious, but, you know, it's not what I would normally read in comics. And I was wondering, I'm like, so does, like, he have to use, like, a tampon and a paperclip to, like, defeat a tank in each issue?
No, maybe there's something like that coming up in the fourth and fifth issue. But what's cool is that where in the show he would often just kind of just, they just do it. Mm-hmm. Where here, he actually is explaining the logic behind what he's doing, and that's really cool.
Well, I know in, like, I think it was number two, I guess, of this, they're on the back of, like, a motorcycle or a little, like, spree, yeah, and took, like, some, like, fruit and put some nails through it and threw it behind to, like, stop. So he does do a little bit of that in the series.
Why? Okay, I'm lost on
that. He made these little, like, tacked mines. Like, you take a ball of fruit, or it was, like, fruit or, like, a tennis ball. Stick nails up going through each way, so now you got spiked balls that you can throw behind you that then the car will go over and pop their tires. So if you just throw nails out, it won't necessarily do that.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. What? Now, does Image not have ads?
Rarely.
It's like, once I got to the third issue, I was like, whoa, no ads.
Yeah, normally, you might see an ad, like, on the back cover or in the back couple pages, but unlike the big two, they don't. I don't know of any indie that puts ads in the middle of their books.
That's very interesting, and that's worth the $350 cover price.
Yeah,
but there's two things. The story's good. The art's good. I mean, that pick it up, judge yourself. It's just definitely a pickup. But there's a couple things that I kind of liked about it. It's on the very first page. There's actually like a little. It wasn't an introduction of the story. It was more like kind of a little backstory, behind the scenes thing that was going on. Like in this instance, in this issue, I got number three in my hand. There's a conversation between two of the characters that are in, like a behind the scenes conversation that they're having with a couple of the characters within this book, and it ties real nicely to it. And I applaud the extra content. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
But what I'd say almost intrigued me, I almost said more, but just as much as the story itself, was at the end of each issue, there's a story by the main writer, Lee David Zoltov.
Zoltov?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
About he was the head writer for this show.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and he's talking about in each issue he talks more about like the first part was his a little bit of backstory, and then 2, 3, 4, 5 are going to be just how the show originally started off with an idea, obviously.
It starts off with an idea.
It just appeared to me one night. Elves must have made it.
I woke up and there was a TV show script there, and I was like, okay. Oh, God. Kevin's now done.
See, I haven't lost my touch with these reviews. But, no, it's a very good story, and I'm actually anxious just to read more about how MacGyver actually came to
how he became an idea.
Yeah. Now I'm anxious for number three and four, the next issue, because there's going to be a big conflict between the writer of MacGyver and Henry Winkler, who played the Fonz.
Nice.
So there's going to be a tie-in there that I'm very anxious to read about.
Do you remember Murdoch?
Hey.
Yeah, he was the
recurring bad guy.
His half-ass antagonist, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll show up in the books. That'd be pretty sweet.
Well, it's quite possible, because one of the stories in this arc is there's a team of assassins trying to go after MacGyver, and that's really cool. So MacGyver, MacGyver, yeah,
Angus,
Angus MacGyver. Pick this up. I was... No, this is like the only... You guys know if this is like the first time they've done anything with MacGyver?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know... Because they actually gave it a night... a title. Yeah. Fugitive Gauntlet. And usually when they give it a title, I'm thinking like, okay, well, they've been making other MacGyver books in the past and...
Yeah.
No, this is the first I've seen. I love MacGyver. I've wanted to be MacGyver. I got a Swiss Army knife when I was a kid. My mom said I couldn't use it because I'd cut myself. Put it on top of the fridge. Got a chair. Got it. Went out back. Cut the shit out of my hands. Like, I wanted to be MacGyver.
Why did you get a... What, okay, did you get yourself the Swiss Army knife? Or did someone give it to you?
It was at a random family... was reunion one summer, and there's a bunch of like small gifts on a table that you could pick for the random games ahead. And it was a little box that had a ribbon on it. It's like, oh, I'm gonna get my mom a present or something. Maybe it's earrings or something. Open it up. No, it's a Swiss Army knife. Sweet. My mom found out and took it from me, and then I cut myself. But I wanted to say, I love MacGyver so much. There was an episode when he was stuck behind Cuban lines or something. And the only thing he had was he was in a warehouse with medical supplies. Listeners, if you don't know, I have diabetes, so I use insulin quite a bit. MacGyver took a syringe, turned it into a blow dart, pulled up some insulin, and shot it at the guy, and he instantly faded. I thought that I had, like, some magical... I can make my friends faint by shooting up with insulin. Luckily, I wasn't that stupid as a kid to try that. Because they would never have woken up.
Wow, that's fantastic. Oh, by the way, Indy's first name is Henry.
It's Henry.
Henry.
Oh, that's kind of lame.
Oh, okay. So you called him Junior just for fuck's sake.
Well, because he was probably Henry Jones Junior.
Oh yeah.
All right, Tony. You want the next one? Or you want me to take it? All right, I'll take it. My book this week for Off the Shelf is Daredevil End of Days, number 4 of 8 from Marvel. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack. The art is done by Klaus Janson and Bill Sienkiewicz, and the colors by Matt Hollingsworth. Letters by
Joe Carmagna.
Yep, letters by Joe. And I got the variant cover, which was painted by David Mack. A little background, if you guys have not heard about this, which if you're listening to us or reading any of our tweets, I don't know how you're missing it, because I won't shut up about it. Daredevil is dead. He died at the hands of Bullseye. The reporter Ben Urich is trying to piece together the last few years of Matt Murdock's life, as well as who or what his last word that he spoke is, or what it means. What that word is Mappone. So... this book, I gotta say, goddamn, this is such a damn good book. And I'm sorry I keep coming back to it, this title, every month, because I do try to have, like, some diversity for our listeners. But when a book is this good, it was everything I had to do. Like, I tried, I'm like, no, I'm gonna do this book, I'm gonna do that book. And ultimately, when it came down to it, I'm like, I have to talk about this. This individual issue has been investigating Bullseye's death now, which... you know, they find him in a room with a bullet through the center of his head where he has that fucked up scar. And the blood splatter in the back is in the center of the O of the word Mappone, which he wrote in his own blood before he died. So whatever this word is, it's what set Bullseye off. You find out that he'd hired a hooker right before and paid her double to dress up like Elektra. which is a little fucked up. But then you also find out that they briefly mention at least one person is out there dressing up as Daredevil, trying to fight, like, neighborhood crime, you know. So, and
is he blind?
I don't know, but they also show a couple, in a couple issues, they show Daredevil in the background. So Daredevil is or isn't, we don't really know what's going on, who this Daredevil is that's tracking Ben. The most shocking part in this book is when Ben goes to Rikers Island to interview and visit a very much older, a much more grizzled, and a hell of a lot scarier version of Frank Castle, a.k.a. the Punisher. And it's the scariest version of him I've ever seen, because Frank Castle is just terrifying in that. it's just such a well-crafted story, and honestly, I've been on the edge of my seat every month, and I'm purposely not giving away as much as I could, because I really want people to go, you know, read this.
I'm telling everyone, it's a must-read. Can't say enough about it. So yep. Damn good.
Yeah, it is.
that would be off the Drunk on Comics at
Twitter. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. It is a must-read. It's a must-buy. And I've said this more than a few times, that this is hands down the best storyline I've read in my adult life. I mean, you know, the one cool thing is that even if you don't know Daredevil, it's written so well that you're still going to go, wow, this is really interesting. But if you know Daredevil, there's so many little nuggets of history that they pull from to write this story. It's just beautifully crafted. So the art by Jansen is some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever seen him do. There's a really gorgeous page in this issue from Alex Maleev that'll knock your socks off. Previous issues had David Mack actually doing some painted pages as well. So I would love to actually buy everyone that's working on this book around. I mean, they deserve at least that. But in the meantime, I'm giving them two mugs up, because this book is fucking incredible. So that's mine.
Random question for you, just because sticking with Daredevil. You know how other characters can be a superhero by dressing up? There's right. been many Batman stuff. Can you see there being another Daredevil without it being Matt Murdock?
Yes, I could. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily ever ask for that.
But would it be Daredevil without the sonar?
Well, if he was able to have those kind of powers. Because, I mean, like, Batman doesn't have powers. He's just got martial arts and money. Mm-hmm. You know? But, I mean, if... Well, you have... Could Scarlet Spider ever be Spider-Man? Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, if somebody was able to have that sonar type of ability...
Then you'd say that would be okay, but someone just filling in the shoes, just wearing the costume.
I don't think it would work when it comes down to Daredevil, because, I mean, it's those heightened senses, that super hearing sonar where he can hear people's heart rates up and down when they say certain things, and he can smell, you know, gunpowder, he can hear the click of a bullet going into a chamber, that those are the things that keep him safe. Somebody else that was just a really good acrobat, they're probably going to be dead too quick.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I'm fucking in love with this story, though. It's awesome. So I'm going to try not to talk about it next month when 5 comes out, but if it keeps up like this, I'm going to have to say something.
All right. Moving on down the shelf, I'm going to talk about New Avengers number 1.
And I'm glad you're talking about this, because I'm curious as hell. I didn't buy
it. And I'm glad that you're liking Avengers now a bit. Me and my brother have been, I don't know, I guess convincing you to read some good literature.
Oh, whatever. When you start reading Daredevil, then I'll actually admit to what you know, your good literature is. Until then, nope.
All right. Well, this is written by Jonathan Hickman. Pencils by Steve Epton. Color artist Frank DiAmarta. Letters by...
Holy shit, is it Joe again?
Yes. cover art by Jock, which is just a cool name.
Yeah, he's a good artist.
And actually, the cover is pretty badass. Ultimately, it's hard to explain if you haven't really read the Avengers or the last huge Marvel events of who the Illuminati are. This book in itself is going to be mainly covering those people. Captain America, Black Panther.
Who's the hot chick?
I'll get to her in a sec. Doctor Strange, Reed, Black Bolt.
Professor X isn't there anymore, huh?
No, and that's where we're wondering which one, because they all kind of switched around which Infinity Gems they got. Ultimately, quick backstory on the Illuminati. The big minds at Marvel came up with this whole thing of all these huge events that happened in the past. How about we say that there was some giant cabal behind them all that kind of, you know, led the way through it. So when it came to Skrull Kree War. which was a huge event back in, I think it was the 80s or so, fighting over Earth, you kind of get a flashback of these characters kind of stopped it. From that, you see repercussions in the future and what was happening in the big events of Marvel. So from that, there was then the Infinity Gauntlet series, and then it showed them getting the Infinity Gems from the Infinity Gauntlet. So they were involved in that as well. World War Hulk.
So was there an Adam Warlock appearance at all?
In the other issues, no. And not in this comic book either. It's just following the characters. Okay. World War Hulk was another huge Marvel crossover event. That all came about because the Illuminati were the ones that shot him out in space to get him off Earth. They're like, we just need to send him to a peaceful planet. Hopefully he'll just do it. So they put him in a ship. It wasn't their fault that it malfunctioned and landed on a fucking battle world type planet. They were sending him to a peaceful place where he could just live in peace and he'd be happy. Of course, Hulk is pissed, comes back to Earth. From the Kree-Skrull Wars thing came Secret Invasion, where the Skrulls come and invade Earth. All of this, through many years spanning, the Illuminati have set up Marvel events. So having a book that has these main characters in it, and calling it New Avengers, you got to look at it as huge cosmic-type stories.
Why are they called New Avengers, then, if they're just the Illuminati?
Because when they came out with the New Avengers a couple years ago, that was like the team of awesome people. You had Luke Cage.
I want to be on the team of awesome people.
No, you had Luke Cage, Spider-Man, you had Wolverine, you had Spider-Man, you had like...
Daredevil was in there, wasn't he?
Yeah. He got to be a new member. The New Avengers is kind of like that, where the Avengers are all high and mighty. Not, you know, they're the more predominant ones, though.
Yeah.
You don't just stick every single cool person on that team. The New Avengers kind of... has always been kind of the awesome team that you want to read about. And they've talked about that, the writers have, when they were writing the New Avengers. So this just so happens to take some of the best names in the business, at least as far as powers go. Plus, they all have the Infinity Gems, which they're going to preview for next story. So let's get to this story in specific. Now that I give you so much backstory to the story... Black Panther and them are checking out some ancient hieroglyphic type stuff in Wakanda, and they come along this what was kind of like a time dimensional space rip where they were at. So they go and they check it out. What they see is some chick and some guy, and they are talking about destroying the Earth.
Oh. It would have been more exciting if they were doing it.
No, they were just planting the death seed.
Oh, damn it. Planting the seeds. Spreading the seeds.
Ultimately, Black Panther was trying to teach some of these young proteges from Wakanda about exploration through the stars, going out in the universe. And... these people come and invade. He eventually stops them, but he realizes this doesn't seem like it's just a normal threat to Earth. There's some giant floating sky or another like celestial planet above them that also gets destroyed. They have the giant flash page, New Avengers Illuminati.
Okay, that was wasted. I hope they don't count that as story page.
It does. But what I love, the whole ending of this story is bringing about these people to him. Reed Richards, or Doctor Strange, Black Bolt, Tony Stark, Captain America, and this is the one that just kills me, and Namor.
You hate Namor.
No, it's not that I hate Namor. It's something me and my brother were talking about. Namor had an Infinity Gem. They kind of talked about it during the whole last Avengers versus X-Men type story arc. However, he's on the run from the government.
Well, I'm more wondering...
Why is Captain America hanging out? Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm more wondering about. Reed Richards isn't even on Earth.
That's another thing, too, that has to do with continuity. I mean, if you're going to say that the Fantastic Four are in other dimensions, how can you have Reed Richards here? Tell me where this story takes place in that whole timeline. Did he just get back from his spacefaring trip to then come do this? I mean, he looks fine. He doesn't look like he's dying from the cancer that has eaten away at his cells. That's the problem I have with multiple books, multiple stories involving the same characters.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jonathan Hickman. I think he's a phenomenal writer. I mean, he wrote a great series of Fantastic Four. I hope he does this right, and I hope he explains how Namor is on the team without them arresting him, how Reed is in two places at once.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have right now. However, the team, the build-up, the story behind it, everything about this is going to be epic in scale. It's going to be the best Avengers book out.
Well, because it's the best team. It's the awesome team.
Yeah,
we're like an awesome team.
The answer is, by the way, magic.
So. Magic. Yeah. Magic they have, always
they
wins.
They have Dr. Strange, so yeah, I guess.
Isn't that back from our very first podcast, Magic Always Wins?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Or maybe it was episode 2. I don't remember. But
it was in the single digits.
It was. It was one of the first or second ones. Magic always wins in the end. So.
Well, let's all really off the shelf, right?
That's it for off the shelf.
Wait, that's it?
That's it for off the shelf.
You're just moist over DD?
I'm extremely moist over DD. Dude, that book, I bought all the variant covers because I love David Mack's work, and so that's why I'm buying those covers. I'm seriously considering this week going back and buying the back issues of 1 through 4 with the regular covers, just so that I have copies to lend to people to read, because it's that good. And, wow. I'm afraid people are not reading it, and everybody needs to be.
I wish I would have had more time and could have picked up some stuff, because I was down in Kentucky.
Oh, you were in Kentucky.
I was in Kentucky last week, and I went to a comic book store that I think was going out of business because all their back issues were 75% off.
Oh. God.
Yeah, and I only had a half hour in the store.
Oh.
Before I got glares from my girlfriend and my mother-in-law. Sucks so yeah. bad because actually there was a lot, because everything else was kind of picked over in the store, even though like trade paperbacks they were 30% off and stuff like that, but no, the single back issues. And thank God for cloud computing, because I was able to pull up comic books needed.
Yeah.
On my smartphone. So I picked up a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
So I guess this leads... wait. Am I killing the format by jumping into...
No.
Okay, so I'm going to jump into my long box. So.
Okay. We roll with it.
Oh, okay. Because I picked up Secret Invasion.
I just said those words.
Wow.
Yes, done by... Marvel.
Marvel. Yeah, Brian Michael Bendis and Lionel Yu.
Yeah, now, I knew, of course, this is my most recent long box. It's something from 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Or your Magic comic book store. That one's new this week.
Yeah. But... I've heard about Secret Invasion. The only thing I knew going into it, and someone spoiled it for me, and actually just after I read it, it turned out it wasn't that big of a spoiler, was that...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah. is Spider-Woman was a Skrull. Like, everyone was a Skrull in this fucking story.
Yeah.
So, Brian Michael Bendis...
Who is...
Lionel Yu.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which Bendis is currently also writing Daredevil End of Days, amongst other things, but...
Derek's bundle of joy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think this is the first thing I ever read by him.
Really?
Yeah, because you guys pick up the Marvels, and you guys read the Marvels.
Well, and we read Marvels that are current.
Well, hey, this was printed in this millennia, at least.
Yeah.
Because I've been on a hot streak of the 90s.
That is your all streak. It's not
or the future.
Okay, keep going.
So I picked up at this comic book store almost all the Secret Invasions. And you see I got this variant edition number one.
Which is like the blank cover.
Yeah, it's just a blank cover, and it was whatever, $325 and 75% off that.
What is that, Tony? You're good at math.
Yeah, it's like some change.
It's like pennies a day.
Yeah. You can feed a kid in Africa for that.
Yeah, so I got some good deals. I picked up a bunch of Superman that filled in the blanks here and there. But today I actually read Secret Invasion 1 through 8 in one sitting. And it makes me, reading a series like this, 1 through 8, kind of gets me worried about my huge Superman archive that I have going on right now. Because right now I have about 5 years of Superman that I've been collecting. I haven't read a single one.
That's going to be a lot of reading.
It's going to be a lot of reading, but I'm up for it, because I'm big into... I was big into Showcase and Essentials, but I think from reading all of those, I think I might be just getting a little burnout on them or something, because honestly, doing Secret Invasion, I thought, like, the first issue fucking blew my mind. It was awesome. And then, I don't know if it was just something in my noggin or what.
Your brain did a revolution.
I just towards the end, I just kind of lost interest in the story.
Well,
and I don't know if it's just because I was trying to read them all in one sitting.
Well, did the TV get turned on by the end?
During the eighth book, yeah.
Okay.
But even before then, I was kind of like, my interest on it was little weaning. I wasn't reaching the emotional high from the first and part of the second book.
I think maybe it was because you read it in one sitting. I know that when it first came out, there's multiple titles going on. Me and my brother collecting those, and you're reading each one, and you're wondering what the fuck just happened? Wait, that person was a Skrull? Who's a Skrull? Spider-Man making those jokes all the time of like, I bet you you're a Skrull, or this and that. I think we were more invested because it was a whole nother month until we actually got the answered reveal.
Yeah, and there was the excitement about that. And, I'm happy that I'm talking with you guys, because going back to what I was saying about DC Showcase and Essentials, is that those stories from the 60s and the 70s, they weren't one continuous story arc. They were quite often, like, at most back then, it was maybe three
issues. Yeah, at most. Normally it was like a two-issue, to be continued.
Yeah, and that was huge. That was a huge deal. Like, at least according to Stan Lee, as he would say...
Excelsior.
And enough said. And
God, make mine Marvel. Hell yeah.
So,
Kevin, I'm just gonna stop you there and just
stop me with my ums and ahs.
Convince you to go, pick up Dark Reign. That's the next big event after Secret Invasion.
REIGN.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It is obviously you finished Secret Invasion and you saw who killed the Skrull leader.
Yeah.
Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
He then is kind of giving the keys to head up S.H.I.E.L.D. The Green Goblin.
Yeah, I mean, that was a...
Running the show. And Dark Reign, I think, was out of Secret Invasion, which was... When you read Secret Invasion, if you've read the past, I think that's another reason for you, too. We've read comic books for the 10 years before this even came out, that there's events in here that explain when these Skrulls got taken and when this person got switched. And so for the last couple of years, you've had these sleeper Skrulls And I think that was other kind of emotional tie-in for us.
And I did, like, at the end of a couple of these books, there was some backdrop saying that, yeah, they were seeding this for, like, a couple of years, kind of like what... So I've been hearing about what Ultron.
Yep.
They're laying little clues for the coming of Ultron.
Well, you know, and
series coming up.
That's something I have to just quick mention, and I'm pissed I forgot to bring it. Free comic book day last year, Marvel's comic book was Avengers Age of Ultron. And I happened to run through it while I was following shit. And it was one that I never read for whatever reason. I don't know why I didn't read it. So I yanked it out and I was going to read that because that's coming up. But anyway, I'm sorry.
But yeah, pick up Dark Reign. You will, I think, really enjoy that now that you have some backstory getting into the giant event of Dark Reign. But it's pretty badass.
Okay. I'll gladly take the take your suggestion, but it just for me, Secret Invasion was kind of a letdown because I really enjoyed Civil War, which is, that was a big mm-hmm. big one.
Don't read Fear Itself.
Okay. I don't know if you can call it an epic event because it was just kind of a one shot. But you know, Planet Hulk.
Yep,
I picked up those issues and I read all that, and that was a page turner for me. But of course, it was a standalone story, whereas this had a lot of, well, who the fuck is this character? I said that a bunch of times. I don't know who this guy is. Norman Osborn, what? That threw me for a loop. I didn't know what the fuck was going on there. So maybe that's probably also another reason why for me, Secret Invasion wasn't all that. But I mean,
so somebody that doesn't know anything about Marvel, you'd say probably don't jump in here.
Yeah, definitely don't.
But if you know something about Marvel,
well, if you know,
I would say yes.
If you know Marvel in the from like 2000, I would say 2005 to more current, then yeah, maybe go back and read this.
Okay.
But for me, like, I know my X-Men, my Avengers, and all that from the
80s and 90s, basically.
Yeah.
Earlier, even, too.
Exactly. Then, yeah. But,
So give it a grade, Kevin.
I give a secret... Now, let me ask you this before I give my grade. did you guys read any of the other stuff in between this? The Frontline?
Yeah, I've read some of that.
I did pick up some Frontlines. And
those are kind of
really. Yeah,
I was buying and reading very sparsely when this was going on.
Well, I'll say this: if you can pick this up for a decent price, yeah, go for it.
Like, I'm sure pennies a day.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm sure, like, half off trade paperback, yeah, that would be worth it.
Okay.
I was actually looking, before I found this, I was looking at doing it digitally because I got a new tablet. I'm like, oh.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, complete with finger marks and everything on it.
Nice.
Yeah. But even still, at $2 an issue, I don't.
Yeah. Dollar bin, though?
Definitely dollar bin.
All right. So.
All right.
All right, Tony. What do you want to do?
Let's just jump in news and notes.
News and notes?
Yep.
We'll do that before we do indie?
Yep.
All right. News and notes. Aspen had a couple things going on this week, which I thought was kind of interesting. We'll talk about the fun part first. They've unveiled this, like, awesome poster for their 10 for 10, meaning 10 issues for a total of $10, that they're going to be doing this year. Starting in February with Legend of the Shadow Clan, which is a brand new series. In March, number one of Shrugged, it's volume 2, comes out. April, Journey, which is a brand new series written by J.T. Krull, who I've known for a number of years.
Is that about the band?
No, it's actually, but that'd be sweet. But
they're formed in South Detroit.
Yeah. Oh God. Can you imagine? Like, if the first, like, story arc is called "Don't Stop Believing." But no, it's J I R N I. That series looks amazing. So I'm really excited for that one. Charismagic Volume 2 comes out in May. Bubble Gun is a brand new series that comes out in June. All New Fathom in July. Awakened Skies / Overtaken, that's brand new, comes out in August. September's Executive Assistant Iris Volume 4. October is Trish Out of Water, which is a clever title. I don't know anything about this one yet, so I'm going to want to see. And then November is All New Soulfire.
I like how they mix it up. New, not new.
Yeah, but they're going number ones because everybody likes number ones. But
well, I like especially for a dollar.
Yeah, for a dollar, you're damn right. I'm trying every single one of these. And the cool thing is that they have a thing where readers, you know, and who are going to buy all the 10 for 10 comics, if they talk to their comic shop ahead of time, they're going to be eligible to purchase their reserved edition covers. And then they can also be eligible to receive this Perfect Tens poster, which they've put online. Gorgeous. So I'm going to check with my shop
Wednesday. If you like women, that is.
Yeah. If you do, you know. If not, it's a horrible poster. But no, it's cool. So that I thought was neat. Aspen also announced this week that they're separating their business ties with Joe Benitez. So, Tony, did you ever read any of the Lady Mechanica stuff?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'll have to bring it. I've got the first three issues. Beautiful work. It's a steampunk type look and universe. And they've separated. Joe is going to go out and do Lady Mechanica and stuff on his own. And I want to give props to both people, both Aspen as well as Joe in this, that they were very polite, very gracious to each other separating. I don't know the situation as to why they separated, but it's really nice and refreshing to see people do things in such a nice way, not firing people via email or, you know,
ranting on Twitter.
Yeah. That
pulling,
kind of
pulling a Liefeld.
Yeah. That kind of crap. I mean, like, it was really, really nice to see people, like, just be polite, you know. But I'm hoping that that Lady Mechanica, the issue 4, finally comes out, because it's a great book, but it's been, I think, like a year since issue 3. So,
does he have artist block or something?
Well, he's writer and artist on it, and I don't really know what the scoop is. I know that they've been working with him for a long time trying to get things going, but, you know, I have no idea. It could be something personal going on in his life too. It's beyond me, but so that's kind of the one big split. There's some movie news, wasn't there, Tony?
Yeah. So a movie that I am super excited for, Guardians of the Galaxy. They have some rumors of who might be playing Star-Lord.
Is it going to be Tim Allen?
No, that was Galaxy Quest.
Oh, okay.
One of the names that's been thrown around is Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, but he's also being thrown around for Batman and Justice League.
Yeah, but that I think is just total bollocks. That is not true.
Are you trying to swoon our listeners from across the big pond?
Yes, I'm trying to use words they might understand.
I don't think you said it right.
What did you say, mate?
He said bollocks, but no. I think he meant bollocks.
I think it's bollocks.
All right.
Either or.
REJ Webb, you guys, let us know.
He's one of the names being thrown around. The other name being thrown around is Peter Quill. Or, I mean, not Peter Quill.
Peter Quill's
Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor on in Smallville. And he was in, what was that, Sorority
Boys? Yeah, Sorority Boys.
Yeah. I love him as an actor. I actually want to see him play over Joseph Gordon-Levitt. However, I just can't get past that for the past, like, 10 years, I've seen this man as a bald Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but he was in some TV show. Oh, God, it was maybe a year or so ago, and I don't think it lasted probably more than 6-7 episodes, but he had hair and he was like a total dick. Like, he was like,
really?
like a douchebag kind of guy, and I was like, you know, like a bro. And I'm like, all right, cool. But yeah.
I mean, I'd be happy for either one of the characters, but I just know that Peter has hair, so I need to see, I guess I need to see new, updated Michael's shots with hair to be like, I can totally see him pulling that off, because right now, all I see is Lex.
You know, the great thing about him as an actor, though, is, I mean, how many times has he pulled off that serious, stoic role so well? And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, to me, I still see the kid from, you know...
Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah. That's all I see.
So. Yeah, but he's an alien in that, so he knows...
Oh, my God. I didn't watch the show a whole lot, but I totally forgot about him.
Yeah.
Because he had long hair in the entire series, didn't he?
Yeah, kind of longish, you know, Hanson-ish hair.
Do you think that...
Mm-bop.
Yeah. Do you think that girl in that show was hot?
I don't remember the girl in the show.
It's all blonde?
I don't remember.
But you remember the dude?
Well, he was...
He did have long hair. He and those Hanson chicks are hot.
There's another news of characters that have... tried to fit the bill, but have changed a bit. Have you seen maybe
mutated a little bit here and there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All new X-Men number 5 came out this week, and I've bitched about it a couple times, how artists just decide that they can draw Beast however the fuck they want. And, you know, my little joke was maybe if artists would all pick one way of drawing him, he'd stop mutating and he wouldn't die. So I think maybe they did listen to me a little bit. That's my thinking, you know, because I'm pretty sure everybody that writes comics, they listen to us and they take our opinion as what they should do.
Yes.
but, yeah, so Beast has a brand new look. Kevin, did you see it?
Don't care.
Look at him.
Yeah, I saw him in the internets and the booky thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean... I didn't read the story, so why did he change?
Well, he's been going through a
menopause. He's having because I remember from 1 and 2 he was like, diarrhea,
cha cha cha,
yeah. and so I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
I didn't think much about it, but okay. So now he's now did he just wake up and go, my face?
No, like he and.
Old Beast.
Old...
Young Beast.
No, what? Little X-Men. Little Beast.
Yeah.
They fixed him with the mind meld. So here's... I'm happy that they're finally just going to stick with one, and we won't have, like, you know, Wolfhound Beast, like, in that one Wolverine in the X-Men book.
Yeah, but how long did that last? Did it just last for that little bit, or did it last a year?
Oh, well, no, that one three-fingered, like, Homer Simpson dog-looking Beast that they drew, that was just the one artist that drew that one issue, decided to draw Beast that way. So, you know, but then there was Feline Beast for a while, and some people drew him that way, some people didn't, you know, so it's like... I'd like to see a little bit more consistency between the artists.
That's not the greatest thing that came out of All New X-Men, though. Something that I want to first talk about, kind of going along with this,
are we going back to
this giant two-page?
We kind of are, yeah.
Right here, yeah.
back
to the shelf. This is just an amazing fucking picture.
Yeah, that double page splash with Jean Grey seeing her entire future.
Her entire life, her many deaths.
Yeah, give me that.
And feelings.
Which, by the way, I will say, well, let's give a little credit here. Brian Michael Bendis wrote this, and Stuart Immonen did the art with Wade Von Graubadger and Marty Garcia also on there. So, yeah, I mean... I gotta admit, though, like, I thought one of the great lines in this was when Jean Grey asks Beast, how did I die? And he goes, which time?
Yeah. No, I think the best was Wolverine saying, no, who, let's just kill you now. We'll kill you now.
Talking to
and Charles Xavier, yeah, and Charles Xavier will be here standing. And then one of the young X-Men go, standing? Like, because they didn't know that he got out of his wheelchair.
But I like, he's like, let's take a vote. Who's for me shanking him right now?
Yeah. You know? And as I said before, I love Jonathan Hickman. I also love Bendis. His writing he has so much stuff that he sets up in, like, pages before that come to fruition books later, and his dialogue, he just has the characters well written.
I'm a little pissed off that this is not ending.
No, I am happy. I thought this was for sure going to be a 5-part mini series
to kick off Uncanny X-Men, yeah. And then this would be done.
But it's so not. It's going to be an ongoing series.
There's still
going to
be Uncanny X-Men, right?
Yeah, there will be an Uncanny X-Men. There's going to be all new X-Men. There's X-Men Legacy. There's Astonishing X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Are they going to bring back X-Men the early years?
Well, no, that's kind of what this is. Because the team from the past is staying in the future. So the junior X-Men, the little X-Men, they're staying in the current time.
I think that it's going to bring so much new character development to these people now that they're out of their element. I'm going to be enjoying seeing where these characters go. Already, both Icemen, have been just kind of joking back and forth of clashing each other's style. I like that one is still old snow type Iceman, and the other one is giant ice
creature Iceman. I did like the fact that Warren's like, how come nobody's talking about me? That was also the
best part. Yeah, why has no one talked about me and what's happened to me?
Yeah.
And that in itself, I'm like, that just compels me as a reader wanting to see that person's emotional trip of, wait, I become Apocalypse? Like,
here's the thing. I'm going to keep reading this because it is interesting, but I wanted it to end. Like, I like it, but I wanted it to end.
Why, though? If it's a great, great story,
because
why end the story?
Well, it number one, it comes back to the fact that, once again, Jean Grey is alive again, you know.
But they didn't resurrect her, so I can... Anything aliens time travel, I put my stamp of approval on. This had time travel, so she can be alive.
What about alternate universe? You okay with that, too?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I kind of wanted it to be done. I'm also sick, kind of like what we talked about with your, you know, your Illuminati. Unless all these books are tied together so that they are all in continuity and on the right timeline, I'm not in favor of it. So as long as they stay, stay that way, and they are, I'm cool.
And that's the one problem that I'm thinking when they come out with Uncanny and who's on, is that following Scott's team then?
Yeah.
Because this has been great that they don't have Uncanny right now. You're only seeing kind of what Scott's group's been doing through this book.
Yeah.
And you've kind of been seeing a little bit of what Wolverine's been doing, but it's mainly been following... It doesn't have a lot of jumping overlapping where all these Avengers books has the same Wolverine on 10 of them plus in his school. I'd have liked that this writing seems a little more tight in the sense of the teams haven't been too dispersed and too displaced, fighting on two different sides of the world yet. We'll see once New Uncanny comes out. But, I don't know, I'm still sold.
Yeah. It's good. I really liked it. And actually, I did buy the variant cover on this one, which I normally hadn't, but it's Oliver Coypel on this one, so I liked it. I think that does it for news there.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to bring back, if you don't mind, guys, we got time for a quick 1-minute segment.
Yeah.
Brief, yeah?
Okay. I wanted to bring back an old segment we started the show with, the podcast with, collecting tips.
Ah.
So my collecting tip... It's actually more of advice. And, of course, I fucking don't even have my goddamn example with me. Fuck. Cliffhanger for next week. God damn it.
I don't like cliffhangers.
To be continued.
What's your collecting tip? You can't do that. Spoiler alert. Tell us now.
No, I want to save the surprise.
I don't like surprises.
Buzz's minute's up now anyway, so...
And this has been Kevin's prepared, the Kevin segment of the show where he's clearly prepared, has notes, and everything's clearly organized. Right. Derek, your segment, please.
All right. Booster well, book or...
No, I want to do Indie Turnpike because I picked up something that I was going to talk for it, and then you also picked up the same book.
It was great because, like when we talked, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And, well, I was thinking of doing this. And then you said, I'm thinking of doing Mars Attacks Popeye. I'm like... Awesome, because I wanted to talk about it too, so we can tag team this for Indie Turnpike.
Yes.
Which, if you're new to the show, Indie Turnpike is where we highlight a book that's not one of the big two, and kind of put it in the spotlight for a minute. So, Mars Attacks Popeye is from IDW. It's a one-shot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a one-shot in what it is, but something that I've talked about a couple weeks ago is Mars is attacking IDW right now. And they are invading different timelines, different universes. So think of it as more or less IDW did great with Infestation. It spanned multiple titles, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, Transformers and stuff. This is kind of, they're in close stories, but they're pretty much what Mars Attacks is they're attacking Earth. So they're attacking these universes. How are these people going to defend themselves?
Yeah, and so this book was written by Martin Powell. Art was by Terry Beatty, and the cover's by Ray Dillon, for those that are interested. So this is a fun-ass book.
Oh, dude, I'm already hooked from the artwork.
Yeah.
This is classic Popeye.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's cool because, I mean, the art in that is made to look like that old, like, pixelated, you know, dot matrix kind of printing.
I don't understand. They should have gone to the actual paper.
I would have preferred paper myself.
Yeah, but it's glossy.
I like paper better than the glossy shit anyway. Well, that's just me.
One of the things, I've read old Popeye comic strips, you know, in the newspaper, or I've seen the cartoon shows. I like that just it, this, so I don't know a lot of these characters in, per se, this book, but they all seem to act and talk as you would remember them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I am humiliated, or the Blasked Marshkins with the odds against me. Like,
is that how you remember Popeye talk?
Well, he has those giant tumors on his hands, so.
He's got that huge goiter hanging off the side of his mouth, which is a weird chin. The cool thing is, this has virtually the entire cast of Popeye that I remember in here, with the exception of Bluto. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, why wasn't Bluto in here? You know, but everybody else was in there. Some of the just little fun things in here. Now, I really liked that art, like that double page spread that you're at, Tony. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, you got Pappy and Popeye beating up the big Martian robots
right after they got their signature spinach.
Yeah. The one thing I was a little surprised, speaking of Pappy, is seeing him right there punching Sea Hag. I'm like, wow, dude's hitting that bitch hard. Like, okay, whatever, it's 1960, you know, put her in her place. I don't know what the hell, but, you know, it was cool. But yeah, this is, what other, I know that Mars is attacking Kiss.
Yep, they're attacking Kiss next.
And then what else is in there? They've got a list in the back there.
Judge Dredd, Star Jam.
No, actually, okay, who they are.
Transformers.
They're attacking the real Ghostbusters. They're attacking Transformers, Kiss, and Robots vs. Zombies. Now, some of those covers you're seeing, because they talked about how it would have been fun to just invade a ton of other comic books. They just didn't have the time, artists, or anything. So what they did was some variant covers of if they were attacking those books, what they'd be. So on the cover, it will say for Transformers, but it will have variant covers of the other comic books that are out there.
I was a little disappointed I didn't get the Marvel or the Mars Attacks Bloom County, where it's the Mark.
Yeah,
it shows Opus, you know, with the big brain. But
I don't know. I'm so disappointed. I'm not even going to read any of those.
But yeah, so that it was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, if you like Popeye or if you like Mars Attacks, pick it up. I mean, or even if you're just wanting something a little bit different.
Way different. And like I said, I'm not a big buying Kiss comic books, but I want to see
how
Mars Attacks, what's going to turn out from that.
Because I got a feeling that all these Mars Attacks are going to be, like, so stupidly fun.
Yeah.
That it's great. So, I liked it.
Yep.
I was glad. Like, that it made me happy when you're like, yeah, I want to talk about that. So, all right. Booze in the Book?
Yeah, Booze in the Book.
All right, Booze in the Book this week. I've got Punisher Nightmare, number 1 of 5 from Marvel, written by Scott M. Gimple, and art was by Mark Teixeira. I'm pairing this with something we drank last night, Tony. Breakfast Stout from Founders Brewery in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I don't even remember what I drank last night.
This is a double chocolate coffee oatmeal stout with an alcohol by volume percentage of 8.3. And I'm pairing these together because the beer and the book are both incredibly powerful. They're both dark. They're really intense. And I got to say, I wouldn't recommend these to people who are new to beer or comics unless I knew that they were smart enough and open-minded enough to be able to appreciate the beauty of both these two awesomely superior products. So, oh, and they aren't for pussies either. So so that's it for Booze in a Book.
We're going to put up interwebs up on our Facebook page.
Yep.
If you want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah, go to 241comics.com. It's spelled out T-W-O-F-O-R-O-N-E, comics.com. And there's a bunch of different, like, weekly comic strips on there. Go check out the one called Terror Bads. If you guys listen to our interviews from Detroit Fan Fair back in October, we interviewed Chris Mewis, and he is the writer, a good friend of the show. Some really fun stuff, and you can just peel right through them. Start at the beginning. I'm probably through maybe 40 of them now, getting caught up, and I think there's about 70 total, so I'll be caught up here real soon. Very, very interesting look at superheroes and what they are or are not or should not necessarily be. And my favorite guy is the main character when he attacks people and his arms turn into, like, you know, the arms of a bear, and he goes, "You have the right to bear arms." It just cracks me up. Like, so, but yeah, check it out. Jeff Manley's the artist on that. And so it's 241comics.com. We'll put a link up on our Facebook and on our Twitter and all that. Big news still, Motor City Comic Con's coming up in May.
Yes, and it is.
We should go to that.
We are going to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go.
Yep, we're going to be there.
For just like the afternoon, right?
Like all the afternoons and all the mornings. Yeah. We're going to have a table and we're going to do a podcast. Chairs.
Oh, they're going to be, we have chairs too.
Probably even chairs. Yeah.
Wow, we are spoiled.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, like, and so we're going to do a live recording of our podcast there, and we're also going to be doing a panel there separate from that as well. So lots of opportunities to come, you know, meet us. That is May, is that 17th,
18th, 19th? Yep, I believe so.
I think so. Yeah, so check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com. Find them on Facebook, find them on Twitter.
You bring us a full bottle of beer, we will sign it after we drink it and give it back to you. So
exactly. Yeah. Better be good beer.
And better not be warm beer.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So does that do it?
I think that does it.
Did it.
Yeah. I have nothing else. It's been another slow news week.
That's okay. We talked about a ton of other stuff. I mean, we got a great collecting tip from... No.
We didn't. Spoiler. I don't want to spoil it for next week.
I want to know.
All right, you guys. this is Tony with Drunk on Comics with Kevin and Derek. And
also with Drunk on Comics.
Yeah.
Are you guys with us?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm with us now. But watch out. I might be against you one day.
I say keep reading those comics. And Tony says...
Keep reading those comics?
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
To talk about them then.
To talk about them then. See you guys.
Goodbye.
You guys want to see my spoiler?
What are you, a pimp or something? Are you in love with him? Is he the one? Mary, Mary. Run from the moon and escape to the sun. Father and daughter and mother and son.